ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 18th chapter, titled Maharaj Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy, verse text number 47. Apapeshu swabhrityeshu,
apapeshu
swabhrityeshu,
balena pappa buddhina, balena pappa buddhina.
Balena pakva buddhina,
balena pakva buddhina,
papam kritam tad bhagavan,
papam kritam tad bhagavan,
papam kritam tad bhagavan,
papam kritam tad bhagavan,
sarvatma shantum bhagati,
sarvatma shantum bhagati,
sarvatma shantum bhagati, bhagati. Apapeshu swabhrityeshu, apapeshu swabhrityeshu,
apapeshu swabhrityeshu,
balena pakva buddhina,
balena pakva buddhina,
balena pakva buddhina,
balena pakva buddhina,
papam kritam tad bhagavan,
papam kritam tad bhagavan,
papam kritam tad bhagavan, sarvatma shantum arjati,
sarvatma shantum
arjati,
sarvatma shantum arjati.
Apapeshu,
apapeshu,
on to one who is completely free from all sins.
Swabhriteshu,
on to one who is subordinate and deserves to be protected. Balena, by a child. Apakva, who is immature. Buddhina, by intelligence. Papam, sinful act. Kritam, has been done.
Tat
Bhagavan.
Tat Bhagavan.
Therefore the personality of God is.
Sarva Atma.
Who is all pervading.
Shantum.
Just to pardon.
Harvati.
So the translation effectively by His Divine Then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead to pardon his immature boy who has no intelligence and who committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. So we read the translation. Then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead. To pardon his immature boy.
Who had no intelligence.
And who committed the great sin.
Of cursing a person.
Who was completely free from all sins.
Who was subordinate.
And who deserved to be protected. Let us see the purport by His Divine Srila Prabhupada. It's a very good purport. As usual, Srila Prabhupada addresses a lot of points through his purport. And he makes a translation also very clear to us by reading his purport. Everyone is responsible for his own action, either pious or sinful. This one, I was thinking, even this one verse, or this one sentence, you know, we can have the whole class on this one sentence of Srila Prabhupada. See, everyone is responsible for his own action, either pious or sinful. Now what that stuck to my mind, you know, when I read was Newton, Sir Isaac Newton. Right? He had three laws, isn't it? Newton had three laws. And the third law says, to every action there is equal but opposite reaction. How many scientists are here? Or people who have learned science here? Just to know. Okay. So basically you people should be knowing about it, isn't it? To every action there is equal but opposite reaction. But this is on a material plane. Nothing transcendental about this. But in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord addresses three points, isn't it? Karma, akarma, vikarma. So karma and vikarma, is that what he's talking about? Or Newton, what he said? Action, reaction, right? You do a good action, you get a good... You do a good act, you get a good action. You do a bad act, that will react to some bad deeds. So Lord addresses in Bhagavad Gita as karma and vikarma. So akarma is not known to anyone who is material. Only person who is transcendental, or person who is, you know, who is a devotee, or who is following the instruction of Krishna, only they will know akarma. The devotional service to the Lord. So that is one point I thought about it. Continuing further, Rishi Savmika could foresee that his son had committed a great sin by cursing Maharaj Parikshit, who deserved to be protected by the Brahmanas, for he was a pious ruler and completely free from all sins because of his being a first class devotee of the Lord. Now further later on, we see that what Srila Prabhupada means by the first class devotee of the Lord. So keep it in your mind, we'll come back to that. When an offense is done onto the devotee of the Lord, it's very difficult to overcome the reaction. The Brahmanas being at the head of social order are meant to give protection to the subordinate and not to curse him. Right? See, in this externally, you know, even the Parikshit Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord, the first class devotee of the Lord, as described by Srila Prabhupada, yet, you know, on the external platform, right? He was a Kshatriya because he has got a prescribed duties to do, right? So based on the Kshatriya level, he has to be protected by a Brahmana, because a Brahmana of the Varnashrama order, the Brahmana is a topmost, right? He's supposed to give protection. But what has happened here? See, the head of the society means, you know, they have intelligence, you know. They have to be kind enough to protect the subordinate, because in this case, even if you consider, you know, that the Brahmin boy is the top of the order, he's supposed to give protection, he's supposed to pardon. Yes, you have done it by mistake. But what has happened? He didn't do that. On the contrary, he cursed him. Right? That's again going to lead into further complications. We'll see that. And there are occasions, he said, Srila Prabhupada says, there are occasions when a Brahmana may furiously curse a subordinate Kshatriya or Vaishyas, etc. So do anyone think of that incident? What Srila Prabhupada, there may be many incidents, but Srila Prabhupada thinks, you know, there could be plenty too. Any of the incidents, you know, where a Kshatriya has been, you know, furiously cursed by a Brahmana for their benefit. See, here, the Shrimi boy, a Brahmana boy, has cursed Maharaj Parikshit, not for his Maharaj Parikshit benefit. In other words, externally you can say that's a will of the Lord. But that, you know, it's basically, you know, for his insignificant act, right? He was cursed. But what Srila Prabhupada means is the Brahmanas, they curse very furiously for their own benefit. Many instances are there. Anyone think of anything? I thought of one.
Sorry, Prabhu.
Narada Muni is a different platform. He's not a Brahmana. I'm talking about a Brahmana. Narada Muni comes under a pure devotee of the Lord. He's a transcendental person. That we are going to discuss further too. What I've done is, based on, anyway, you're talking about it. So I've collected a few offenses and we'll discuss about it. You know what I mean? How, what's the impact, you know? So that we learn better. Yeah. Anyone else? I thought of something, sorry. Yeah, Durvasa Muni. For Durvasa Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj is already, there is no benefit for him. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. When a devotee, you know, he blesses or curses, it's beneficial to the other person. The devotee is already blessed, you know, by the Lord. You know what I mean? So Narada Muni in this case, Narada Muni, there is nothing for him to lose or gain. He's already blessed by the Lord. The Lord is in his heart. But when a devotee curses or blesses, it's a benefit for the other person. It doesn't matter, it's a curse. When a devotee does it, that we are going to see that further. But I'm talking about a Brahmana, you know, who is on the top of the Varnashrama system. He's not a, he necessarily need not be a devotee. Okay, what I was thinking is, furiously, it says Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking about King Vena. King Vena was son of King Anga, right? But what happened was, he did not follow the religious principle properly. He did not protect his precious citizen. But on the contrary, he was saying, King Vena was saying, you worship me. Indicating that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An ordinary conditioned soul, you know, or maybe a little bit elevated personality. He was saying, worship me, you know. So what the Brahmanas did, they were so powerful that they chanted a mantra and they killed him. If we know this, you know, most of the problems will be solved in life. If you know the mantra. Right? If you don't like someone, boom, he will die. Then there is no police case, no postmortem, no homicide cases, all this. Right? See, imagine, you know, just imagine how powerful the Brahmanas would have been. I was just thinking of that one point, right? They may not be necessarily devotees, right? But how powerful they are. By chanting one mantra, they killed the king. And the king is so powerful, you know, with his territory, with his army. How powerful, just killed. So this has happened. So Brahmanas have the power, right? So he has done that. That's mentioned. But in the case of Parikshit Maharaj, there were no grounds, as already explained. You cannot curse a devotee. What can you do? Right? Like people like all these devotees of the Lord, you know, like Bhaktisar Prabhu, Gopabrindesh Prabhu and Tirtha Pada and all that. What can you tell them? They are already following all that. There is nothing to correct them, you know. In the case of Maharaj Parikshit, imagine, you know, what can you correct a pure devotee of the Lord? Like something like saying, I am going to correct Srila Prabhupada. It's an obscure statement, isn't it? How can you, what can you correct Srila Prabhupada? He's a fountain acharya, right? Then imagine, you know, Maharaj Parikshit is a pure devotee of the Lord. There's nothing to correct him. Whatever they do is for the beneficial of other people. He is Shindi Brahmin, you know, so puffed up. And he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. So the foolish boy, Srila Prabhupada says, foolish boy has done it out of sheer vanity, pride, in being a Brahmin's son, and thus he became liable to be punished by the law of God. The Lord never forgives a person who condemns his pure devotee. Therefore, by cursing a king, the foolish Sringi has committed not only a sin, but also a great offense. Therefore, the Rishi could foresee that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save his boy from this sinful act. He therefore directly prayed for pardon from the Supreme Lord, who alone can undo a thing which is impossible to change. The appeal was made in the name of the foolish boy who had developed no intelligence at all. Right? So here, Srila Prabhupada is talking about curse and offense. Right? So I was just thinking, there is a subtle difference. There's a difference between curse and offense, isn't it? Right? So curse, basically, you know, it's on the Varnashrama level, basically, you know. But exception to this, we'll come back to that example, Prabhu, Narada Muni. So curse is basically done on a varnashrama level, you know, or a mundane level, you know. You curse something, someone, you know, and, you know, like you become a dog or elephant, whatever may be there, it doesn't. It is for the benefit, of course, because a brahmana also, because he is higher in the social order, he curses someone for the benefit. But there is a corrective action involved in that, right? Cursing is not just for fun, you know. I don't like you. I curse you to be a cat. It's not like that. It is, you know, it is done with due respect, right? And it is authenticated, right? It's not just for whimsically people do it. It is authenticated, right? So you curse, brahminas only have the power to curse. Even though the kshatriyas are quite powerful, but still, they don't have the power. So on the top of the order, brahmana chastise or curse someone for their benefit. As I said, there's a corrective action involved so that they will correct it. Because why is there a corrective action? Because human is so, you know, human, our we, so puffed up and in our activities and all that. And imagine Kali Yuga, it is the topmost. But even in the previous yugas also, you know, the corrective action was necessary through cursing. Because this material existence, right, it gives a separate existence from Krishna. If you see, right, I am a different, I am a separate, I will do whatever I want. See, this separate existence is given by the material energy. And hence, I will do whatever I want. Who is there to correct me? I know I am earning. You know, I am driving my car, I earn. I do whatever I want. See, this is the kind of a pride. And when it comes into a person, see, the Shrinki boy said, yes, I know. He has done something to my father. I will curse him. See? So there is correcting action involved. So what happens those times, you know, as you know, everything goes according to the prescribed formula. If you deviate, right, we have to pay a price. So the deviation is the curse. You deviate from the procedure. Then how do you correct it, now? Because immediate punishment has to be given for that purification. Hence curse was given, right, in that sense. Not, you know, as a joke or, you know, making a fun of it. No, serious, you know, we can see Bhagavatam also, we're going to discuss it. It's a big topic, in fact. So we are seeing how, you know, curses helped many persons, you know, to overcome the problem. At the same time, it is for their benefit, right? But offense is different. Offense. Why it is different? Because you're doing offense to a devotee, which means the Lord is in the picture. Any offense to a devotee means Lord is in the picture. So, what happens? If Lord is in the picture, you have to seek the blessings of the person and the Lord as well, depending upon the case. So, in this case, what happened? Offense, yes, the Shringi boy has done an offense to Maharaj Parikshit. Hence, he has to take pardon. Otherwise, you know, Lord is not going to forgive. Forgive and forget. So, what's a simple example? What do you think of offense and the Lord has not forgiven? Very common one. Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasa Muni, you know how powerful he is? He went to Vaikuntha Loka. Can we go there? We can talk about it. Durvasa Muni, why did he go? Because after, you know, all the, because Maharaj Ambarish actually, you know, he wanted to break his fast. So he asked the Brahminas, see, I want to break the fast. Durvasa Muni is going to come. What should I do? Tomorrow, this is Duva, this I have to break. So the Brahminas consulted refers and they said, okay, take water. Water is like fasting, it's not. So you can drink your atithi, you know, your guest, that is fine. So he drink a sip of water. Durvasa Muni knew with his mystical power. He knew that Ambarish Maharaj has taken water. Immediately what he did, it looks as if he has come for a fight, you know. He pulled a hair and he made a demon, a fiery demon, to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Who is he? Ambarish Maharaj is a top class devotee of the Lord. All his senses he used in the service of the Lord only. The eyes he will see only Krishna. The ear he will listen only Srimad Bhagavatam. The nose he will smell only the flowers offered to the Lord. The tongue he will chant and make Krishna Prasadam. With the hands he will wash the temple. With the leg he will use to go to the walk. He will not use come by riot or car. He walked to the temple, the king. And the whole body he used to touch the devotees and do service. In that way, hands is purified. See, everything, all the senses he uses the Lord's service. Such devotee will the Lord keep mind. So what happened? Immediately, without anything, Sudarshan Chakra, you know, revolted. Lord Vishnu is saying, what is this? Sudarshan is also Lord's devotee. It said, I will go and tackle him. It started chasing Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj went to Brahma, Shiva, nothing. He went to Vaikuntha to Vishnu. That the point I made was, he's able to go to Vaikuntha, right? And then he said, Vishnu, your Sudarshan is chasing. He said, yes. You offended my devotee, go and ask forgiveness from him. Then he will not do anything. Vishnu cannot do anything, no? But one may ask a question, how come Ambarish Maharaj went to Vaikuntha but he has got no control? Yes, something like, you know, we see the PRs, you know, some student come here as a PR. They can live in Australia for some time, then they have to go. Ambarish Maharaj did not have the permission to live in Vaikuntha. He can just go and come back. Like a tourist people, you know, people from Singapore, they come to Australia for a few days and then they have to go back.
They're not the residents. We are all the residents of Australia.
We have the privilege to live here permanently, right? And not to go to Vaikuntha also. Because we are a permanent resident here. Why do you have to go to Vaikuntha? But as long as you live here, this is a Vaikuntha. Radha Vallabha is a Vaikuntha, right? So the point here is, the Srinki Brahmin not only did a mistake, he had offended a devotee. So what is the cure for that? If you offend someone, what you have to do? Ask for forgiveness of the same devotee. And then also request the Lord, I have done a mistake. Because the devotee is very dear to the Lord. Two things we have to do, right? It is not stopping there, just further going, you know, and saying, Lord, sorry I did, I have asked for forgiveness, please you also excuse me. Because it's a very serious offense. That's why we have to be quite careful with our sadhana. So this is the point, you know. So he therefore directly prayed to the pardon from the Supreme Lord. So this person, the Samika Rishi, he prayed to the Supreme Lord to pardon his son, because after all affection, right, with their son. So his father, please forgive him, because he knows. And see the consequences, what's going to happen. We're going to discuss further. What has happened? Just because of the curse, the whole Brahmin community has gone. In the Kali Yuga. It's affected the whole community. Just the one boy has stuffed up the whole system. Okay. A question may be raised. Now Srila Prabhupada is asking a question and is answering. A question may be raised hearing that since it was a desire of the Lord that Parikshit Maharaj be put into an awkward position so that he might be delivered from material existence, then why was a Brahmin son was made responsible for this offensive act? Right? It's a valid question. Srila Prabhupada is asking, and Srila Prabhupada is also giving the answer. He's saying, the answer is that the offensive act was performed by a child only, so that he could be excused very easily, and thus the prayer of the father was accepted. See, when a child does something, you know, it's okay. It's fine. Sometimes we see a child and kicking the parents. It's okay. But if I kick my parents, it's a big offense, right? So in that sense, you know, a child is excused, you know, see, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be spoken, right? So the Lord has also used him, you know. This child is pardoned and it's okay. It's not considered great. But a mature person, you know, if he does that, then it's a big problem. But the question is raised, and that's a prayer of the child was answered. But if the question is raised, why the Brahmana community as a whole was made responsible for allowing Kali into the world affairs, the answer is given in the Varaha Purana, that the demons who acted inimically towards the personality of Godhead but were not killed by the Lord were allowed to take birth in the families of the Brahmana to take advantage of the age of Kali. Right? See why? So, as I was just thinking when I read this, you know what? Yesterday, Gopal Vrindesh Prabhu was mentioning about the one such Brahmin, you know, where he was a sense gratifier. I don't know, people have been. Sense gratifier, and then at one particular ceremony, you know, Sans Supana, you know, ceremony, he was posing as a Brahmin all day. See, Kali, typical Kali Yuga, because once one who is a sense gratifier, right, he cannot sincerely worship the Supreme Lord. So he's making a show. That means demons, you know, they are making a show. So Kali Yuga Brahmin, see, that is how it is. Just for Brahmin threat, I am a Brahmin. What they do, qualities and karma, guna karma, missing component. So hence, you know, that is how I was just thinking, isn't it? This is one such demon. And we see such powerful demons. This is not even a demon, you can see that. It's just a small mosquito. There are so many, you know, serious demons like that, you know.
doing like this. So this is what they want to take. So the all merciful Lord gave them a chance to have the births in the families of a pious Brahmana so that they could progress towards salvation. Still the Lord is kind. See, Srila Prabhupada said, see, the demons were inimical to the Lord. The Lord gave an opportunity in Kali Yuga to be born as a Brahmin because they want to show that they are a Brahmin. In other sampradaya, in other yugas, if you want to show as a Brahmin, finish, you know, they are properly treated. But in this case, you know, they are given an opportunity for these Brahmins to show that they are a Brahmin even though they are not, and hence they will get salvation arma. Salvation arma also, you know. What is that? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. These are the four things. So, dharma, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and that will lead to salvation. So, the salvation which is referred here is the impersonal aspect. They will not see the personal Lord. They go and merge with the Brahman. That is the salvation they are talking about. Because if one is inimical to the Lord, they are not going to get the personal association with the Lord. It is the impersonal aspect. So, but the demons that the All Merciful gave them, Brahmanas, so that they have a chance, right? But the demons, instead of utilizing the good opportunity, misuse the Brahminical culture due to being puffed up by the vanity in becoming Brahmanas because of the pride. The pride is the root cause here, right? If a Brahmana becomes pride, problem. So the typical example, the son of Savmika Rishi and all the foolish sons of Brahmanas are warned hereby not to become as foolish as Sringi and be always on guard against the demonic qualities which they had it in the previous verse. The foolish boy was, of course, excused by the Lord. So he was excused by the Lord. But others who may not have a father like Savmika Rishi will be put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantage. So this Sringi was very, very, what you call, he's blessed in sense because he had a father, Savmika Rishi, who got the pardon from the Supreme Lord because of his prayers. But Prabhupada has gone in. So all of the Brahmins in Kali Yuga, you know, he's not talking about the Vaishnava Brahmins. Other Brahmins in Kali Yuga who's not following Srila Prabhupada's standard, they have warned that they have to undergo severe reaction if they don't follow properly and offend a devotee. That's lesser beauty. Om Adhyana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mulitabhyam Tasmai Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manovisam Sampitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadanti Svapadanti Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sasi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are starting the lecture now. It was just an overview of Srila Prabhupada. That's why, you know, the whole purport can be spoken for a couple of days actually, you know. So we talked about the curse and the offense, you know, during the purport. Now a couple of curses we discussed, right? To understand it better. Now Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu Maharaj, who was a devotee. Right? Mother Parvati, we can put her in the classification of what is she? Demigod. Right? She is not more than a demigod, right? Demigod. So, a demigod cursing a Vaishnava. For Vaishnava's benefit, Chitraketu Maharaj, right? He accepted. He said, after Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj addressed Mother Parvati as Mother. I don't think if I was in a situation, I would. If someone even hits me also, I look at them, what do you think you are? You're better than me? You know, this is a move, right? But he addressed Mother, that's okay. You're blessed. You have cursed me, that's alright. I take it, you know. And he didn't counteract, even though Chitraketu Maharaj can counteract. Why? Because Chitraketu Maharaj was traveling in an aeroplane given by Lord Vishnu. What are we traveling? We are traveling in Toyota and Honda, given by the material companies. But right? But Chitraketu Maharaj is given by aeroplane given by Lord Vishnu himself. Imagine how powerful he would be. He was going. But he just laughed at it. So this is a lesson that we should never laugh at
especially Matajis, even if they say a joke, we should be quite serious. They'll be offended. They'll say, okay, Mataji. It could lead to a big problem just because Chitraketu Maharaj laughed at Mother Parvati. Sorry, Mother Parvati, basically husband, Lord Shiva. Mother Parvati took it very seriously. Lord Shiva actually said, it's okay, that's fine, because he knows. But Mother Parvati said, no, how can you laugh? So in other words, if a husband is accompanying a Mataji, we should not laugh at the husband. That's another lesson too. We should just be very morose. So we are safe. Okay? So this has happened. So but for Chitraketu Maharaj's benefit, anyway, Mother Parvati is again a personification of Maya, right? She is basically a sister of Krishna, in a sense, right? So, right. Narada Muni curse, that's also I made a point, Prabhu. Narada Muni cursing Manigriva and Alakuvera, for whose benefit was it? Manigriva and Alakuvera. Because Narada Muni was a transcendental person, right? He need not have to have anything, as we discussed, right? But Nalakuvera and Manigriva, what they were doing? Absolutely mode of ignorance. They are drinking, taking in a bath, you know, without any, you know, clothes, in a pond with other ladies. Imagine, Narada Muni is coming there. So in order to teach them, see, corrective action, curse. In order to teach them a lesson, he cursed them to become trees. Yes, now you are not having any dress, right? Why do the dress, trees need dress? You can become a tree. You need not have to wear a dress, fine. So he cursed. But the benefit was that you are going to see Lord Krishna in the backyard of Nanda Maharaj's house. So that's a blessing, right? The curse always ends up for that benefit, right? But what happened was, is a lot of things happening, the curse also. The curse for a non-devotee or a person who is not a devotee of the Lord is different to the curse, the maturity of the curse for a devotee. You understand what I mean? So what I'm trying to say is, in the case of, okay, if you give an example, it will be better. In the case of Nalakuvera and Manigriva, who were not the devotees of the Lord, right? They were sons of demigods. So obviously pride and all that. So they were not devotees of the Lord. But because of Narada Muni's association, for a minute, right? Because Narada Muni, even for a minute, you know, association, they got purified. And they became a tree. Of course they had to do it. And then they saw the Lord. But, and then when they saw the Lord, they did not get the association of the Lord to go back and live with them permanently. What they got? They got a new Gandharva body. And they had gone back as demigod. That's it. They did not go back to Goloka. Right? But we are going to discuss a story later on. The story of King Indradumna. He was also a similar situation like Parikshit Maharaj. He was also cursed. Okay? But he was a devotee of the Lord. So when the Lord, when he saw the Lord, what happened? His curse turned into the Lord's personal associate. Right? Because he was a devotee. Right? So the curse that is given to a devotee will act in a different way. The curse that is given to a non-devotee will act in a different way. You got the point? Even though they see the Supreme Lord. Like in the case of Manigriva and Nalakuvera, they saw the Supreme Lord face to face. Right? But they ended up getting a Gandharva, you know, a very good body. That's it. That's what the most they got. But King Indradumna, he became the Lord's personal associate because he was a devotee. That's the difference. Then Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasa Muni was a big Brahmana. Right? He basically cursed, but he offended Ambarish Maharaj. Hence he has to take pardon from the Supreme Personality of God. Right? So that's the difference we saw about curse and offense. Then remember I was talking in the course of the purport about the first class devotee, right? Remember? I forgot. I said, you know, keep it in your mind. First class devotee. What is the qualification of a first class devotee? The two reasons, you know, connected. Now, this is with respect to Maharaj Parikshit. Now, even though Maharaj Parikshit had a capacity to counteract the curse by the Brahmana boy, still he did not approve of his action. Why? Because he thought that he has done a mistake. Right? He felt guilty rather. He rather felt that he thought that his action is wrong. He was basically taking repentance. Okay? Now repentance comes in the mode of devotee of a good soul only. Pious souls. It will not come in the case of non-devotees who are in the mode of passion and etc. They will not come. Right? We should be a devotee. For example, we have also seen, right? Sometimes we try to, you know, do something, the Paramatma will prompt, and then we'll, oh, maybe we have done a mistake, offense, right? And immediately the Lord will prompt. And if you don't take that instruction, if you don't ask for forgiveness from the devotee, it will lead to further implications. So it's better, you know, the Lord is prompting as Paramatma towards something you have done to the devotee. So just go and mildly, you know, forgive it. Ask for forgiveness, then it's gone. So in this case, repentance is a good sign, because once you have repentance, the Lord sits in the heart. Right? The Lord can be perceived once you have repentance. And that comes in the mode of devotees and pure soul. The repentance is also good. Immediately after Maharaj Parikshit did that, he was feeling sorry for his action. He was feeling, yes, I have done something. Maybe I have offended a Brahmana. Even though the Brahmana did not respect him, Maharaj Parikshit said, yes, I have done a mistake. So that is a good sign. So that is a symptom of a pure devotee. In the Maharaj Parikshit case, it was very clear. Right? And the second is, another greatness of Maharaj Parikshit is that he did not justify the gravity of the offense. For example, what actually Maharaj Parikshit did, okay? He was hunting, okay? He was tired. He was thirsty. So what he did, he went to that sage, you know, to have some cup of water. Now I was thinking, these days, you know, like brahmacharis like Gopavrindesh and Tirthapad and Bhaktisar, no problem, because they always carry a jar of water with them. No problem, they will not be offended or cursed. So maybe they learn something, you know. But I don't know, there's missing there, you know. Always they carry, you know, that too they carry in that orange bottle, you know. So no problem. When they are hungry, you know, they do not have to get disturbed and, you know, get the curse or anything. But what happened was, unfortunately, our Maharaj Parikshit did not carry water. He had carried water, problem solved. Right? Anyway, he went to the house to take some water. But that Srimi, that Saumika Rishi, was so... Actually, he was meditating. He was oneness with the Supreme Lord. He was in oneness with the Supreme Lord. So powerful he was. Okay. Now, he did not disturb. See, when you are talking to the Supreme Lord, oneness with the Lord, the soul is almost one in nature with the Supreme Lord. Where is the question of external surroundings, you know? Whereas most of the time, we live on the external surroundings. So, we cannot feel the oneness with the Lord, right? It's two different platforms. So, he was there. He did not bother what's happening, you know? Right? Partly a mistake. For example, you know, what he expected was a hello. Hello Maharaj Parikshit, how are you? What do you want? Because, why this has come up? Because according to the Vedic principle, Aditi is a guest when they come, there is a procedure also. See, Vedic culture is so important that everything there is a procedure. So if someone comes home, what we have to do? We have to welcome them. Please come home. And then we have to offer some sweet words. Right? How are you? How is your family? Please come inside. We have to ask them. Otherwise they'll go away. Please come inside. And then you have to give them a cup of water. Basic etiquette you have to do. But what I have seen is sometimes when I see someone knocking, I'll look through the pigeonhole. Who's there? We have not asked them. And I ask my wife, did they call us? Someone is knocking. Did you get a call, telephone call? He said, I'm not sure. Do we open the door? Then put the boat and see who is that. Is it a big body or a small body? You know, for our security. This is the security we are having these days, right? Bolt after bolt, lock after lock, you know, we are having. One layer after layer. First is you have to go through security door at the bottom. Hello, I am come. Oh, they go, they come and come in. Then the first level of security they enter. Vaikuntha first door. And then when they go, they knock. And then through the pigeon bolt, again the same person has come. And then the bolt, again transform. And then open. Like this, he comes inside. Sorry. He's so many layers of security, right? So those days, they don't have security layer. He is a king, you know. King is very powerful. He's not an ordinary person, Maharaj Parikshit. He's, you know, the power he had, he's able to stop the infiltration of Kali. Kali personification is coming, you know. He's able to check it and stop. Don't come. This is the power of Maharaj Parikshit. So powerful personality. He's following the religious principles so nicely. First class devotee of the Lord. You cannot do anything to him. You have to respect him. But because the Saumika Rishi was in oneness with the Lord, he forgot the external surrounding. Hence problems started. But what happened? Naturally, you know, you can understand that he is hunting, he has become tired, he will want to water, but it is not there. So he got slightly agitated, mode of passion. For a fraction of a second. But most of the time we are in the mode of passion, right? If someone looks at us, you get, why are you looking? You get upset. But only a fraction of a second he was. And that has led to a problem. So what he did was, by the arrangement of the rock, there was a dead snake. Why the dead snake has to be there? So he picked up the dead snake and he said, when I come, you don't garland me. I will put a garland to you, but snake dead garland. This is the thing he thought. Right? One small mistake he did. I will put a garland for you. I will welcome you. You didn't welcome me. So he put a dead garland on the, and that has the Brahmin boy immediately knew. So look at the mystic power of this. People, you know, immediately if something is wrong with my father, then he visualized, you know, he's over. And then he said, yes, he is good. Immediately at that point only, he touched water and he said he will die in 7 days without an under. Why? Because he was puffed up. Why? He was playing with his friends. Sometimes we see. Example is when the children play with their friends, they behave indifferently. Tell us, all the parents know, you know, indifferently they behave. Oh, the friends, because they don't want the children. You come, you know, sometimes, you know, I remember when I was in the university also, once my mother came, you know, to tell me something. I said, okay, you could have told me, I'll wait there, I'll come, you know, because you feel something, you know, talking to your parents and your friends are there, right? This kind of an approach. So, with his friends, he was puffed up. He's completely lost. He did not behave like a Brahmin. What is Brahmin means? Tolerance, right? He did not have that. Immediately curse, without checking, without understanding, without investigating. He did that for the entire community, decline of the Brahmin community. So this guy has brought down the entire decline. Okay, so moving forward. Another greatness of Parikshit Maharaj is that he did not justify the gravity of the offense. Saumika Rishi himself accepted that. It's okay, it's just a dead snake. Leave it, forget it. But the son took it very seriously and he cursed, right? But for such a small, insignificant mistake of Maharaj Parikshit, what was the punishment? His life, it's costed him his life. So there is a very big gravity of the offense, is so powerful. But Maharaj Parikshit did not say. Why he did not say? Because he thinks everything is a plan of the Lord. If everything is coming on the accord by the will of the Lord, who will say anything? Anything you eat, anything you talk, everything is arrangement of the Lord. Why are you going to say anything? Such is the devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. He took it very, very, it's okay, it's an arrangement of the Lord. You are, because mind, bearing in mind, we have to bear in mind that Maharaj Parikshit was already protected in the womb. Even before he could be born, he was protected by the Supreme Lord. What to speak of that? Before his birth, he was protected by the Lord. And now, how long it takes for the Lord to protect him, isn't it? But he said, okay, Lord is not going to protect me. That means, he'll talk to Lord. He does not want to talk. He does not want to protect me. That's fine. Once he protected, this time maybe not. So this is, but what we will do, immediately we'll go and check up with the contract, go to the Kmart. Is there any equipment there to cover ourselves? Tomorrow there's a big, you know, bushfire there. What is the equipment? This is our mentality. We go to Kmart, Big W, a big W, anything big to cover ourselves. Tomorrow there is a bushfire. But the Lord, the demigod is arranging Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Devi. That is a mood. But this is different. As long as Big W is there, we will be big only. There will never be small. There is no small W here. See? So what to do? Okay. Now, so however severe it was. So, alright. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, both of them, our previous acharyas, confirmed that Maharaj Parikshit did not do any previous misdeeds for this to happen. So what do you call that? Right? Sometime back I had a bad time. Right? Whatever it may be. regarding finance and all that. And then slowly situation is improving, you know. That is due to my misdeeds, right? My karma. See, in a lifetime, you have good reaction, bad reaction. You cannot blame the Supreme Lord. It is what I have done. I have created the situation. I have done something in my previous birth for this to happen, right? But here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, both of them confirm that Maharaj Parikshit did not do any misdeed. That means, where is this one coming from? Where is it coming from? Arrangement of the Lord, isn't it? Right? If something you got it, which is not done by you, then who has given you? And you are a devotee of the Lord, then who is giving you? What's the answer? Krishna. Right? So Krishna has arranged this. Why? Next question. Why is Lord so cruel? He gives a, puts a devotee in an awkward position, isn't it? Right? So Krishna should be cruel, right? Why does he put a devotee in an awkward condition? You know, dying 7 days, such a pure devotee of the Lord. Why does he do that? Because Krishna knows whom he is dealing with. He will not deal like that with us. Right? Krishna has got, for example, you know, say for example, I have a friendly relationship with our Prabhu. So I will say, Prabhu, you know, can you draw something for me? Or even Niraj Prabhu also, you know, please, my back is aching. Can you please come with your unit and just give me a small massage? You know, he's a physiotherapist, you know. Niraj, alright? We can ask that. But if I don't know him, how can I ask? Right? So Krishna's devotee is very, very intimate. That's an intimate relationship between the Lord and his devotees. Okay? And because of that, the Lord can do, okay, Parikshit, I have saved you when you were not even born. Okay? Now this time, I want to kill you. Saving and killing is nothing for the, you know, devotee. Okay, Lord, you use me. But I want, for what? So Krishna has had a plan with the Parikshit Maharaj for two reasons. Parikshit, he said, I want to, the stage is set up so that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be spoken. The Parikshit Maharaj said, yes, okay, fine. Second is, I want to bring you back to Godhead. How long you have been there? You're suffering the material world, you know. Come back. So these are the two reasons, okay? One is, Krishna wants, he cannot be separated from his devotee. The Lord cannot do that. How long can a child, a parent be separated from the child? How long? You may not see Aditya for 1 day, for 2 days. Can you not see him for 5th day? You have to see him, right? Child, father, and son, children, you cannot, Lord wants them. So he says, come on, but come, that's it. That's the thing. Doesn't matter, there is some small implications, you know. It's okay, and come back. And then the stage is at Srimad Bhagavatam, because Shukadeva Goswami is not an ordinary person. Srimad Bhagavatam, only he can speak for the benefit of us. Today we are discussing that because of Maharaj Parikshit also. If Maharaj Parikshit had taken water in a jug and drunk it, no sleep there also, no Srimad Bhagavatam today. So all glories to Maharaj Parikshit and the water. Alright? So that is the thing. Now, in 18.42, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the qualities of a Brahmin. Supreme Lord, okay? Let us see what it is. The natural qualities of a Brahmin are very important, right? People who are taking Brahmin initiation, people who are already a Brahmin, please note this point. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the qualities, platform on which a Brahmin has worked. In that, the Lord has also included knowledge. There's a reason for that also. That's what I said, knowledge. Now, if you look at the verse, you know, there, the verse it says that boy, father is saying he had no intelligence. It's quite contradictory, isn't it? I was thinking that point. You got the point? Here it says, right? It says he has got, you know, the boy, the Brahmin boy had no knowledge. But what do Krishna say at 18.42? Brahmana means knowledge, right? Quite contradictory. So do you call the Brahmana as a boy, the boy as a Brahmana? No. Why? Because he was puffed up. Srila Prabhupada says foolish and puffed up. Foolish means what? No intelligence. See, no intelligence means foolish. And that happens because of puffed up nature. Why? Because when you are knowledge, when you have knowledge, you will have humility. The true knowledge, the result is humility, isn't it? When one has got a big knowledge about the Supreme God, naturally he has to be humble. How can one has got knowledge and still is puffed up? Cannot happen. Right? Both cannot go to one. Both cannot go together. If you are truly knowledgeable, then you have to have some humility. So this fellow, this Sringi Brahmin, did not exhibit humility. That means he had pride. That means no knowledge. Reverse logic, right? No knowledge. So that is why his father said. But he proves himself to be a Brahmin, right? Sringi. So he cursed. How do you know he's a Brahmin? Puffed up. He's cursing Maharaj Parikshit, who is a pure devotee of the Lord. He cursed. So basically means, pride means what? Ultimately leads to forgetfulness of Krishna. Because if you have pride, even the Lord himself does not like it. It's like an anti-repellent. It takes you away from the Lord. Like a mosquito repellent. Right? Pride is an anti-Krishna conscious repellent. Or Krishna conscious repellent. Pride. If you are having pride, cannot have Krishna consciousness. So we have to check our pride. Now, let us see the chain of reaction that has happened. We can see something has triggered off, okay? And we see the reaction now. In 2013, right? The current scenario we are in, we are going to see what the reaction that the boy has caused, okay? Now, what has happened was, Kali wanted to come. Kali was checked by Maharaj Parikshit. So Kali was finding all the ways to get up. Kali is coming, that door, that is locked. Kali is coming because this door is locked, that door, everywhere is locked. Kali has to come, right? It has to come. So it was trying ways and means. And finally, there was a loophole. The puffed up Brahmin is supposed to be humble. He was puffed up. So Kali thought, this is the way. I'm going to enter through this Brahmin. So the Brahmin was puffed up. Kali, Kali made his entrance, infiltrated through the Brahmin wall into the territory. Okay, it was only because Maharaj Parikshit is a big blow. He's a big checkpoint for Kali, for the Kali personification. So he has to be thrown out. As long as Maharaj Parikshit is there, Kali cannot enter into his providence. So he has to be out. So the Brahmin boy was puffed up. So Kali has to enter. So through the Brahmin boy, it was born, he was cursed, and Maharaj Parikshit is out now. Now Kali has got a room to enter. And he has entered also. So what has happened was, because Kali has entered, and the Brahminas, they were acting in a way as if they have knowledge, but in fact they don't have, they got proud. They got puffed up. So the Brahminas got puffed up. Okay? And because they have puffed up, they developed a mood of exploiting the Kshatriyas. So what will happen when someone, say if I'm puffed up and someone is subordinate to me, naturally I will exploit them, right? That is a material world. That's how it works, right? Material world means what? The stronger will exploit the weaker. That is the material world. Jivo jivasya jivana. One food is a food for the other living entity. Whoever is stronger, right? The strong animal will eat the weak. The tiger will eat the deer. You cannot say why it is different. Jiva jiva se jiva. That is how it is. When someone is stronger, they will attack the weaker. If a big fat man comes into the road, four people, you automatically go that side, Why problem, Because they are going to create problems, smash you, finish. So that is how it works. So it's better, to be safe. What is the point I was talking about? Sidetracked. Kali has to enter. Okay, the Brahmanas, okay? So the Brahmana became puffed up. So they started exploiting the Kshatriyas. Okay? So they started exploiting Kshatriyas. Now, because of this, what happened? I'm telling how the degradation happened. The Kshatriyas, they are the rulers or administrators. They said, okay, you are exploiting us. We don't want to take advice from you. We can manage ourselves. So what happened? People, Kshatriyas are the rulers, they slowly started repelling from the Brahminas and they did not take advice from the Brahminas. So which means what? Intelligence, Brahminas means intelligence, right? They're supposed to give intelligence to the Kshatriya, the rulers. So what happened? Over a time, the Brahminas are kicked out. They don't want advice. So Kshatriyas become independent. Right? Now what happens when Kshatriyas don't listen to Brahmins? This is how the degradation took place. That's what we are analyzing now. What happens if the Kshatriyas don't take advice, our present rulers, if they don't take advice from the Brahminas, what happens? They become, again, the Kshatriyas will be in an exploitative mood. So what they do? They exploit the people. How they exploit the people? By tax. You see now, anything tax, carbon tax, GST tax, that tax, you pay income tax. You know, you put money into your bank account, you have to pay tax. I once argued with the bank, why, you know? He said, oh, that is because of your check account. Okay, I don't want check account. Make it a savings account. I don't want to pay any tax. Anything tax. So the Kshatriyas, you know, rulers, they impose, they harass the people by tax. Rulers, see? The government, the present prime minister. So many taxes she is coming out, right? What are the taxes? I don't know. It will coming out. The taxes. Now what happens? This, that happens. So what happens? The people, majority of the people are mercantile group. Right? Going and saving money, collecting money, doing business and all that, or working whatever may be. No, working comes under Sudra. So majority of the people are working, business people. Because business people are more. Because all we all work for some company who's making business. I work for a company, someone works for a company. That owner is a mercantile, right? He's a Vaishya basically, you know. Not from the Vedic point of view, from the material point of view, he wants to earn money. So what happens is, these guys, they also want to exploit. So they will not follow the Kshatriya, okay? Now the Brahmin is gone out. Kshatriyas are exploiting and they are exploiting the next group, which is Vaishya. So they don't want to follow, so the Kshatriyas also picked up. Now the mercantile group, the business class, what they do? They call something, they are fed up, you know, and they call something known as capitalization. Capitalization means four or five companies join together, like merging. They join and they give money to the Kshatriyas, the rulers. Now I will give you 5 million. You rule the country or do something. And again, another group will give to that Kshatriya. Both the Kshatriyas will fight. And the mercantile will collect money. This is what happened in India. MLA position is 1 crore. Right? Which is basically in terms of how many? $500,000 or something. The position of a politician. Right? So this is paid by the mercantile group. Just imagine how it is going in India. Alright? So the mercantile group call that is a capitalization. And then what is happening? The Brahmanas picked up, Kshatriyas picked up. Mercantile is also slowly, you know, because of this people are, the working class get upset. So they kick off the mercantile. So what happens? The working class, they get fed up and they start something known as communism, Russia. All the working people cross, join together and they coup the government, overthrow the government. Rulers, Kshatriya and the Vaishyas. So the working class, they are the majority. They are the military. They form their own group and they kick off everything else. So the Sudras on the higher level now. Why? Because of the Sringi God. And a jug of water. So this has led up to this so much of a problem. So no one is listening to a Brahmana. Sometimes I see also in my case, when I tell someone, no one listens also. So I tell them, why? Prabhu, don't worry about it. So I think, okay, maybe not powerful. So it happens, you know. So I know, oh, this is okay. Either, you know, there's something fault with me or fault with one of them. Okay, finally we'll end up with a very quick story. I know that, you know, you've been very patient and kindly listening to that. I know it's a very heavy topic. When I looked at it yesterday, I was thinking, how am I going to deliver this very, very heavy topic? You know what I mean? It's full of curses and all that, you know. So I'm talking to all these elevated personalities, so I have to be very careful also. Now we conclude with a small incident, you know, that may be helpful for you. This is a story of Gajendra, because a similar incident took place, right, in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now what has happened in the case of Parikshit Maharaj? Parikshit Maharaj was a Kshatriya, external embodiment, external Kshatriya, and the Brahmin boy was a Brahmina, and the Kshatriya had come into the house of a Brahmin boy, into the house of Saumika Rishi, Brahmin, into the hermitage of Saumika Rishi, and he was cursed. But in the case of Indradyumna Maharaj, who is Indradyumna Maharaj? Indradu Maharaj, his previous birth, he was Gajendra, you know, Gajendra the elephant. In his previous birth, he was Indradu Maharaj. Right? Now, Indradu Maharaj was fed up with the family life. Time and again we see that, right? Bhagavatam gives a very good insight. All the great advanced devotees, Bharat Maharaj also fed up with the family life. All great personalities, you know, they got fed up with the family. There is something, you know, we have to learn, I think. But anyway, I don't want to go in detail. But if you see, I also experienced that. He also fed up with the family life. So Indradu Maharaj got fed up with the family life, and then he renounced, you know, and then he went to the Malaya Hill. I think not Himalaya. It's on the southern promise. He was the ruler of Pandya, South India. So South India said he was the ruler, Indradu Maharaj. And then he got up. There was as you see, the advantage of South India is there's always mountain there. If you don't like, you can go and stay in the mountain. But there are few, right, mountains there. If you live close to the, you know, Western Ghats and all that, it'll be easier. So fortunately for him, he went to the Malaya mountain and he was doing meditation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Not the impersonal aspect, the personal aspect of the Lord. Now there, he was really, you know, absorbed, you know. Like sometimes we see the devotees chant very nicely, you know, we don't even feel like talking to them. So nicely they chant, like that he was chanting. Now Agastya Muni, who is Agastya Muni? He is a devotee of Lord Shiva, very powerful devotee. He's almost on the same platform, okay, Agastya Muni, not to be underestimated. Same level of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, Agastya Muni, almost same. No, different, like that, you can see. So powerful person. He's very short only. Right? He's only 5 feet or 4 feet or something like that. Right? Very, very powerful person. Now, he came to the heaven, to the ashram of, not the ashram, the house of Indradu Maharaj, where he was meditating on the Lord. Now, same thing happened. He came, he was constantly meditating. He did not even care about the external surroundings. And when he came, he waited. Nothing happened, you know. He said, what? I am a Brahmana, higher to you, you are subordinate to me. You don't even care, you know. And the pride comes, you get angry. This one, it triggers another factors, angry. So he became angry and he cursed, nothing. He came there with his disciple. The king did not respect him. Indradu Maharaj did not respect because there is a reason. He was meditating on the Lord, you know. Like, something like when someone is standing, you go and ask them, give me a cup of coffee or something. You know, or whatever it may be, a cup of water. You know, it is rude, isn't it? So same thing happened here. Right? So he went there. Indradu Maharaj was meditating. Agastya Muni went there, and he was thinking that he's not taking care of the Brahmana. So he cursed him to be an elephant. Why? Because he's saying, I am a Brahmana, I've come. You don't respect me. You're very low in intelligence. You are like a dull personality. So he become a dull like elephant. What is a curse? But because you're a very powerful personality, he was able to remember the prayers. So when he became an elephant, you know what happened, right? Rajendra was a king of elephants. One day he went for a picnic. So when we go for picnic, we have to be very careful. Any devotees plan for picnic, right? So picnic is also dangerous. Indradu Maharaj was a picnic, you know. He planned for a picnic as an elephant when he was an elephant. So he with his wife and many wives and, you know, king's territory, he went there. All he did was he wanted to take a shower there. That's what. That's his mistake. So he went and took a shower, and while coming, a crocodile caught his leg. So this is like the materialism is. Padam padam yat vipadam. The material energy, right? Always there is some problem. You can never be free. You think that, yes, I have just escaped the problem. Some other problem will be waiting for you. You know? So he finished everything. When he came out, the crocodile caught. And the crocodile is very strong in water. The elephant is very strong on wood. Land. So Gajendra has to concede to the crocodile. And at that time he remembered the prayers. He offered a flower, you know, lotus flower to Lord Vishnu, Krishna. And then Lord came with it. Immediately the Lord came. He did not even care he was animal, you know. The Lord came, and then after seeing the Lord, that crocodile got up. See, again, that's another example also here. The crocodile, the personality was not a devotee. So he got a good Gandharva form. But Indradu Maharaj is a devotee, right? So he got Sarupya Mukti, the same form as the Lord. And he went back and became Lord's associate. Same person. Two persons they saw the Supreme Lord. One is not a devotee. Right? He got a good material body, opulence, lived for many years. But a devotee got permanent asset, going back to the Lord and serving Him. So if we follow the same principles, see, this is all the examples that's given, how one is going back to Godhead. It's not a story or anything. So if we also follow the same procedure, we can also become the Lord's associate. See, the Lord is living here. So if we live along with the Lord, these guys are sure that they are going to get what is a rupiah, because Lord is living in this temple, okay? They are living with the Lord. So already Sarupya is guaranteed for these guys. It's a fact. What can you think? Right? Now, because they are living in the Lord's plan, they will get Sarupya also. Saroki also they will get. Because when they go, they will live in the Lord's planet. Already they are living, right? Salokya, actually, sorry. Because they are living in the Lord's planet, Salokya, they will also get Sarupya. When they go back, they get the Lord's home. So this is the advantage of living in the temple. Also, Mataji is also. Who is living. So if we live with the Lord, so that is why, you know, kindly, you know, somehow we have got deities in our house also. We hope that we are also living with the Lord. If the Lord has used the same benediction as, you know, living in the temple, then we are living with the Lord, then we will get Salokya, and through Salokya we get Sarupya, and then eternally will be the Lord, and no more material world. Put an end to that. Okay, Hare Krishna, I'll stop here. Any quick comments, corrections, questions? Okay, we'll stop here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.